یار نہیں ہے میرے یار جناب فاطمۃ الزہرا سلام اللہ علیہا کی رضایت ہے
اور محمد و آل محمد بلند تر صلوات
الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأثريته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأخذها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم قال بما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين وقال أيضا إن جهنم لموعدهم أجمعين لها سبعة أبواب صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created seven doors for the hellfire and the Satan since the very beginning has been trying hard to deceive the humankind by adopting various ways over the past thousands and thousands of years to drag us to the hellfire. And he has already succeeded to drag millions and millions of humans, the majority of the humankind, into the hell. Quran has already said that لا تطع أكثر من في الأرض, don't obey the majority on the face of earth, they will mislead you from the path of Allah. So we realize in the light of the verse of Holy Quran that majority is not just not an authority in Islam, majority is not just authentic in Islam, but actually as a matter of fact majority of the people on the face of earth are misled and will be misleading us if we start following them. So we are proud that we believe and the values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that we care about Haqq. If we are on Haqq, we don't care how much is the number of our following, because we are proud over our belief of Haqq. Because the Holy Prophet has already has said that, إِلْزَمُوا أَسَّوَادَ الْأَعْظَمُ. Keep with the mainstream community. And when somebody asked the Holy Prophet that, what is your the mainstream community? What is the main jama'at that you are talking about? مَا جَمَعَةُ أُمَّتِكَ. Prophet replied, جَمَعَةُ أَهْلِ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ قَلْبُ. The community belonging to Haqq, although they may be less in number. In some of the ahadith it says, وَإِنْ كَانِ عَشْرَةً. Although they may be ten in number, Prophet said. So even though the followers of Haqq are 10 on the planet Earth, it's okay. We don't care. As long as we are on Haqq, we are successful. So we should never care how much people are available to follow us. And this is not the right phenomena. That's why we always say that when we are holding the majalis, don't care about what's the number of people showing up. So people are saying, Maulana, we don't have to come to the majma. If we have called the majma, then we don't have to come to the majma. We have to collect the funds. یہ مجمع آنا یا نہ آنا یہ معیار نہیں ہے. معیار جناب فاطمۃ الزہرا سلام اللہ علیہا کی رضایت ہے. اس لیے کہ ہم مجلس کیوں پڑھتے ہیں؟ جناب فاطمۃ الزہرا سلام اللہ علیہا کے لیے پڑھتے ہیں. پیغمبر اکرم نے کیا فرمایا تھا کہ ان اللہ یغضب لغضب فاطمہ و یرضا لرضاها. اللہ تعالیٰ فاطمہ کے غضبناک ہونے پہ غضبناک ہوتا ہے اور فاطمہ کے راضی ہونے پہ راضی ہوتا ہے. مجلس کا تو صاحب الادا تو وہ ہے نا. ہمارے علماء کہتے ہیں کہ یہ ساری کی ساری ذمہ داری ہے. ایچ اینڈ ایوری سنگل جاب وچ از بینگ ایگزیکیوٹڈ از ایکچولی ڈائریکٹلی سپروائز اینڈ مینیجڈ بائی حضرت زہرا سلام اللہ علیہا. Who is going to distribute water for the azadaran, for the participants in the azad of Imam Hussain? Who is going to distribute the food? Who is going to spread the, you know, the sheets or the carpets for the azad? Who will set up the mic? Who will recite the nawha? These are great activities. Because you are talking about the greatest personalities ever created by Allah. So don't underestimate these activities. These are the best of your a'mal. Anything and everything that you can do for the sake of walayat of Ahlul Bayt are the best of the a'mal of your life. So here it's all ibadah. Everything is ibadah of Allah. Where does the majma and the crowd come in? Majma aaye ya na aaye, ki hame koi parwa nahi hai. Hame parwa is baat ki janab e zehra humse razi ho jaye, ahle bait humse razi ho jaye, imam e zamana humse razi ho jaye. Ye hamara maqsad. Majma na aaye. Agar aap hab baat keh rahe hain, agar aap wo kuch keh rahe hain jo janab e zehra chahti hai ke kaha jaye, to uske baad majma aana chahta hai, nahi aana chahta, ye unki marzi hai. ہم جناب زہرا کے راستے کو چھوڑنے والے نہیں ہیں. ہمیں اس کی پرواہ نہیں کہ مجمع کتنا آ رہا ہے. ہمیں اس کی پرواہ کہ جناب فاطمہ سلام اللہ علیہا لائک. دس از دا پرپز وائی وی آر ہولڈنگ دا مجلس. سو واٹ آئی واز سیئنگ از دیٹ سیٹن ہیز بین ڈیسیونگ دا ہیومن کائنڈ اینڈ دس deceptions of Satan have been very much targeted, and because he has control. But when we say that Satan has control over our thoughts, it doesn't mean that Satan controls us. It means that he just provokes ideas of bad deeds in our minds. Waswasa. deceptive ideas in our mind. That's it. Satan cannot grab the hand of a person and take him to a place where he should do a wrong deed. Satan doesn't have that power. And he's going to say on the day of judgment, مَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. I did not have any control over you guys except that I called you. I invited you. That's it. All he did, he invited us. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. You were the ones who actually responded positively to my call.
So there were a whole bunch of other people, the 124,000 prophets of Allah also calling you.
Why didn't you respond to their call? On the day of judgment, Satan is going to say to the people who followed him that all I did, guys, was to invite you towards the haram. I had no control over you. There were so many people who were inviting towards Allah as well.
Of course, there were so many books sent by Allah, so many messengers, Nabi and Rasul and Imam and Awsiya. Every prophet had a deputy, the Awsiya of the prophets were always there. The earth cannot be void of a hujjat of Allah at all times. There has been hujjat of Allah available at all times on the earth. There were warners and nazir and munzir for every nation. إِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا قَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٍ. For every nation there was a warner. So nobody can say, I was not told. It's up to us, because we had the nafs-e ammara.
We had the desires embedded in our existence, which is basically وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided the capability to us. We can go towards the path of taqwa. If we like, we can go towards the path of fujur and haram. This is our personal choice. So, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Allah has taught us both the ways. You know how to, Allah has sent down the prophets, sent down the messengers, taught us what is haq and how to discriminate between haq and batil.
Now whether we choose haq and follow the path of haq, it's our own personal choice and likeness, or if whether we choose batil and start following the path of batil,
that's our choice and likeness. So we are the ones, because of our nafs and desires, who are responding to the call of shaitan and not responding to the call of the prophets who are also inviting. So who is to be blamed? Shaitan. Shaitan is not going to take the entire blame on the day of judgment.
Lumu anfusakum. Condemn your own self. You are the ones who actually accepted my call. There were a whole bunch of other people who were calling you towards the path of haq. Why didn't you follow that direction?
So now we understand that this human, the control of shaitan is not as such that he can do whatever he wished to do towards the human. No. If that was the case, then there would have been no test.
No jannat and no nar. No heaven and no hell. No reward, no punishment.
If that was the case. But we have the perfect control. So now the humans themselves are responsible. First of all, Satan has the share of the haram. He'll be at the bottom of the hellfire.
He is at the bottom of the hellfire right now.
Because we believe that the Jannat and Jahannam exist right now in the teachings, according to the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. We don't believe that Jahannam and Jannat will be created on the Day of Judgment. Jannat and Jahannam are two haqa'iq and realities which are existing right now. And so when we obey, when we follow the path of taqwa, we are in the paradise. And when we disobey, we get burned by the flames of the hellfire straight away.
Now the uqubat and punishment which arise, please listen to this discussion very carefully, as this is a very important aspect of the series of lectures.
The uqubat and punishment that we talk about in Islam, the uqubat actually itself, the punishment, the concept of punishment can be visualized in four forms. Either the punishments are belonging to category number one. What is category one of punishment? Just like a person you know, want sometimes you punish somebody because you want to take a revenge. You are the victim, you are mazloom, you want to take the revenge. Quran has also said, فَاقْتَلُوا عَلَيْهِكَ مِثْلِ مَعْتَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. If somebody did tajawuz, ta'addi, zulm against you, you have the right to do exactly similar to what he did towards you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. And don't do more. Don't do tajawuz and ta'addi. Don't go further more. That means if somebody did one to you, you have also right to do one towards him. If he did five towards you, you can also reciprocally do five against him. But you cannot do six. If you do six, you will be a sinner. So as much amount of harm that somebody inflicts you or misbehaves towards you, you have a right, equal right to do the same towards the person. But if you forgive, it's much better. That's your choice. So, that doesn't mean that we can forgive, we can forgive those who are doing sins or misbehaviors and bad behaviors towards us. We're not talking about we should forgive about those who are doing bad behaviors towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. This is a totally different department. Don't try to mix these two things. Because there are some people today who have been spinning and twisting this idea of forgiveness in Islam and applying it on the tawheen which is committed against the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and saying we should forgive them also. Look at the crookedness of some people. You know, saying no, even though the Prophet has been insulted, you know, by Salman Rushdie, Prophet has been insulted, so many tawheen and insult has been done, but we should all forgive. Isn't that right? This is what some people are now trying to say, in the name of forgiveness. Well, you have the right to forgive somebody who misbehaves towards you. If Prophet was there, Prophet has the right to forgive or not to forgive, that's up to him. But do we have the niyabat given by the Holy Prophet, or does the mujtahid have the niyabat given by the Holy Prophet to do the afw towards a person who is insulting? No. What is our obligation is to do what Allah has said. We don't have the right to forgive anybody on behalf of the Holy Prophet. Prophet himself has the right to do what he wishes to. And then there are some people who are trying to justify that didn't the Holy Prophet forgive, you know, those people, those mushrikeen of Makkah at the time of the victory and Fatih Makkah. How shameful an example being given by some so-called, self-claimed intellectuals who are tolerating the insult of the Holy Prophet and still claiming to be scholars. So we find that even at the time of Fatih Makkah, look at the Shaykh of Ibn Abi al-Hadid al-Mu'tazili. He has mentioned that in the volume number 17 that Prophet did not forgive 10 people at the time of Fatih Makkah, 6 of the men and 4 of the women. And their, you know, of course, their wrong deeds have been mentioned, what wrong deeds those 10 people have committed in the past. So Prophet did not forgive everybody. There were some people who were not forgiven by the Holy Prophet also. Why don't you mention that? Why don't you tell the whole story to the people? So they are trying to pick and choose some of the things and to justify their political interests today by supporting the Zionist lobbies. See how evil is the behavior of some people. So when we are talking about if somebody performs a bad deed towards you, it's very good if you forgive. Islam has so much reward for forgiveness, but you can forgive somebody who misbehaves towards you.
If somebody misbehaves towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, if somebody insults the Ahlul Bayt or insults the Holy Prophet, no one on the planet Earth except Imam Mahdi alayhi salam has the right to forgive that person. No one has the right to forgive. Our duty is to implement the hukum of Allah.
So, what I was saying is that there were four kinds of, we can visualize punishments in four different ways. One is like the, when the victim, for the sake of taking a revenge, اپنے دل کی تشفی کے لیے انتقام لینا. Just like a person is a victim, so he is the right to take a revenge from the zalim person, but then he can only do exactly what the guy did towards him, nothing more than that. This is the category number one of uqubat and punishment. Category number two is that which is mentioned by our muhaqqiqeen, like that of a qadi. For the sake of discipline, lots of punishments are implemented in a country, in the court system. The qadi, the judge. Well, in Islam, it's a totally different scenario. In Islam, no one has the right to be a judge except a mujtahid. A non-mujtahid does not have the right to be a judge in Islam. That's first of all. So, in the Islamic court system where there's a mujtahid, qadi and judge available and he implements the punishment on a criminal, well, this kind of uqubat and punishment is to maintain law and order and discipline and nazm in the society. So, it's not that qadi is feeling a sense of revenge against that person. Qadi is a neutral person. He doesn't feel any sense of revenge against that criminal. Isn't that right? That's his job because he has to implement the law and order and implement the law of justice to maintain the law and order. It's not for the sake of taking a revenge. So that's the category number two of uqubat and punishment. Category number three, our muhaqqiqeen have said, is like that of a tabib, a doctor. Let's suppose there's a patient who has to take preventive measures. کئی چیزوں سے انسان کو بعض بیماریوں میں پرہیز کرنا ہوتا ہے. اگر فلاں بد پرہیزی کر لی تو یہ فلاں عارضہ لاحق ہو جائے گا, فلاں بیماری لگ سکتی ہے, کینسر ہو سکتا ہے, سرطان ہو سکتا ہے, شوگر ہو سکتی ہے, دوسرے امراض انسان کو لاحق ہو سکتے ہیں. You know, doctor prescribes medicine for us and teaches, tells us the preventive measures. So if we don't abstain from certain things, we may end up in some problems or diseases or illnesses, or you know, so those uqubat and aftermath and after effects that we will achieve because we did not take the preventive measures is the third category of the uqubat. This is unlike the first one, which is for the sake of revenge, unlike the second one, like the qadi and judge who punishes the people for the sake of law and order, not for the sake of taking revenge. This is the third one, which the doctor says, well, don't eat this, otherwise you will end up getting that sort of maraz or illness. This is the third category of uqubat. Whereas the fourth and last category is just like when we are teaching our kids, hey, don't take the knife in your hand, don't put your finger into the electricity outlet, don't put your hand into the fire. This is the fourth category of uqubat, which is immediate. As soon as the child puts his hand on the blade, you will find the hand will get cut. As soon as the child pokes his finger into the electricity outlet, he may get the shock. As soon as he puts his hand into a fire, the hand would immediately get burnt. So when coming to the deceptions of shaitan, coming back to our discussion, our mufassireen of Quran have mentioned that because of the deceptions of shaitan, the category which we fall in as human beings, if we get deceived and we perform misbehave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our uqubat and punishments belong to the category number four. That means that as soon as we commit a sin, because Satan deceives us, he provokes some bad idea, and I had my nafs-e ammara, my desires and wishes and whims, which are dragging me towards following his deceptive ideas, and I did a haram, as soon as I did it, the action is immediate, and I immediately get burnt.
That's why the soul gets burnt. Immediately. So this is lazimai takmeeniyya.
It's the built-in effect, irreversible. Just like the water has burudat, just like the fire has warmth in it. You know, it burns the things. That's a built-in effect.
So lazimai takmeeniyya. Likewise, when we do a sin, it's the lazimai takmeeniyya. Gunah ka ye hai, insaan jal jata hai. Lazimai takmeeniyya.
یہ تو اللہ تعالیٰ کی مہربانی ہے کہ اس نے ہمیں رسولوں کے ذریعے سے، ائمہ طاہرین کے ذریعے سے، کتابوں کے ذریعے سے، وحی کے ذریعے سے بتا دیا کہ یہ کام تمہارے لیے نقصان دہ ہے. یہ تو ہم جل رہے ہوتے ہمیں پتا بھی نہ چل رہا ہوتا.
نہ جانے کتنے ایسے لوگ ہیں اس دنیا میں کہ جو
رسولوں کی بات کو نہیں سن رہے، کان نہیں بن رہے، اور وہ جل ہی رہے نا.
پیغمبر اکرم نے کتنے کیا فرمایا تھا کہ لا اقرأوا القرآن ولا تتخذوا بيوتكم قبورا كما اتخذت اليهود والنصارى. قرآن کی تلاوت کیا کرو اور اپنے گھروں کو اپنی قبروں میں تبدیل مت کرو، اپنی قبریں مت بناؤ جس طرح سے یہود و نصارہ نے بنا لیا. یعنی دے آر لیونگ ڈیڈ لیونگ ان دیئر ہاؤسز. وائی؟ بیکاز دا ریولیشن آف اللہ از ناٹ ریسائٹڈ ان دیئر ہاؤسز. کتنے گھر ایسے ہیں جن کے اندر قرآن کی تلاوت ہی نہیں ہوتی ہے؟ If in you can find a house where the holy Quran is not recited, then you won't find the noor in that house. That is the grave of that living dead person. This person is a living dead in the dictionary of Rasulullah. Sadaqa Rasulullah. He said the truth.
Salawat par Muhammad wa ale Muhammad.
Now, this is the first point about tonight's discussion, that what is the category of the ukubat. The category of ukubat is lazima takwiniya, is irreversible, is immediate, and we straight away we get burnt and our soul is in the hellfire. The second point to remember is that Satan doesn't just do the waswasa. That is step number one for Shaitan. Step number two is tasweel. Tasweel means tazheen. Decorating his policy, his evil deception in front of the eyes of the humankind. Yeah, this is not a bad act. He poses the act and he expresses the act to look and to seem very nice, very good, very beautiful to us. And because Allah has provided fitrah, which is inclined by birth, inclined towards the tawheed of Allah. As long as our fitrat, our pure nature is unimpaired and salim and untainted, we can never commit the sin. So in order to, and Allah has provided the aql from inside, the pure intellect which always guides us towards the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I already told you the hadith in one of my previous speeches where Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said in Usul al-Kafi, Al-Aqlu ma obida bihi al-Rahman. Aql is with which you worship Rahman. Maktusiba bihi al-Jinan. And you worship the paradise. So aql can never mislead you towards the sin. Nobody can say, I did the sin because my aql, my intellect misled me towards the sin. No, it's a false statement. Don't say that. That's a misrepresentation of the fact. You better say, I did this because I crushed my aql and intellect and I allowed my desires and wishes to overcome my aql and my nafs and my desires dragged me towards doing this sin.
And opposing my aql, because aql never asks you to do a sin. So Allah has provided multiple hujjats, certain hujjats from inside. Inna lillahi, that's how it's there in the hadith of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Inna lillahi ala nasi hujjatayn, hujjatan zahira wa hujjatan batina. Amma zahira fal rusul wal anbiya wal a'imma wa amma batina fal uqul. Allah has two kinds of hujjats and evidences for the people. One is the apparent zahir evidence, and one is the hidden evidence. And then Imam Qadim alayhi salam says the apparent and zahir evidence is the for rusul wal anbiya wal a'imma, the messengers and the prophets and the imams. And wa ammal batina fal uqul, and the hidden messenger of Allah is the aql, hidden hujjat of Allah. So aql is the hujjat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But which aql are we talking about? Not just anybody on the street can say, but I am also an intellectual because Allah created me as a sane person. I'm not insane. So I can just decide on my aql, on my own, that what I'm supposed to do. No. That's not what it means from the hadith. Aql is the al-aqlus saleem. That aql which is not impaired by the human desire.
And that aql which is purified, aql of those people who have taharat of the qalb, that aql is hujjat. Not just anybody on the street can say, well, we are also sane people, we are not insane. Hum to koi pagal nahi hai, hum bhi to aql rakhte hai, lehaza jo kuch meri aql keh rahi hai, bas main khud decide kar sakta hu, mujhe kisi rasool aur imam aur nabi aur quran ki zarurat nahi hai. Ye murad nahi hai. Aql saleem murad hai. اگر سے ہماری یہاں عقل و دیوانگی کی بھی تعریفیں انسانوں کی الگ ہیں, رسول اہل بیت کی مختلف ہیں. اور واقعہ معروف ہے, آپ کو یاد ہوگا کہ پیغمبر اکرم نے ایک شخص کو دیکھا جو کہ مجنون تھا. روایت میں تو پیغمبر نے پوچھا کہ اسے کیا ہوا, معلوم قال یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم رأى مجنونا فسأل ما له. پیغمبر نے ایک مجنون انسان کو دیکھا, آپ نے پوچھا اس کو کیا ہوا, تو کسی نے کہا کہ یا رسول اللہ انہ مجنون ہوئی, یہ سب پاگل ہے. پیغمبر اکرم کا پرسپیکٹو, زاویہ نظر, دیدگاہ, ویو پوائنٹ ہمیشہ الہی ہوتا تھا, مادی نہیں ہوتا تھا, محدود نہیں ہوتا تھا, ملکوتی ہوتا تھا, الہی ہوتا تھا. لہذا ملائکہ پیغمبر نے کس انداز سے دیکھ رہے ہیں اور ہم کس انداز سے دیکھتے ہیں, کتنا فرق ہے ہماری ویو پوائنٹ میں اور رسول کے ویو پوائنٹ میں, اہل بیت کے ویو پوائنٹ میں. تو پیغمبر نے فرمایا کہ بل ہوا مصاف, یعنی یہ کہا کہ یہ افیکٹڈ ہے. انسٹیڈ دس گائے واز اے انسین پرسن اینڈ پروفٹ آسک واٹ ہیپن ٹو ہم, اینڈ ون آف دا کمپینینز ریپلائیڈ ٹو دا ہولی پروفٹ دیٹ یا رسول اللہ دس گائے از انسین, ہی از میڈ. اینڈ پروفٹ سیڈ ڈونٹ سے ہی از میڈ, he's affected. And then he said, innama al-majnun man athara ad-dunya 'ala al-akhirah. Pagal to wo hota hai jo duniya ko aakhirat par tarjeeh de. As insane person is actually the one who gives preference to this world over the akhirah. That is a majnun person. But we have a different perspective, you know. So what I was saying is that basically the Holy Prophet has and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam have defined for us very clearly, and these teachings that they have defined for us have made it clear that basically if we follow what they have commanded, this is going to make us powerful enough to stand in the face of the deceptions of shaitan. And shaitan, when he is deceiving the human beings, one of the best ways that he adopts is not just the waswasa, he goes to the second level, which is tazeen and tasweel. Bure kaam ko achha bana ke musayyan karke آراستہ کر کے انسان کے سامنے پیش کر. That's the step number two that he performs. بل سولت لکم انفسکم, جیسا کہ جناب یعقوب علیہ السلام نے اپنے بیٹوں سے کہا جب وہ جناب یوسف کو کنویں میں پھینک کر آ گئے اور جھوٹ موٹ کا خون قمیض میں لگا کے آگے اپنے نبی کے سامنے جھوٹ بول رہے کہ بابا یہ تو بھیڑیے نے کھا لیا یوسف کو, اور یہ دیکھیے اس میں بھیڑیے کا یوسف کا خون بھی لگا ہوا ہے قمیض پہ. جناب یعقوب نے جب قمیض کو اٹھایا دیکھا تو دیکھا کہ اس میں تو کہیں سے پھٹی بھی نہیں ہے, کوئی دانتوں کے نشان نہیں ہے. اگر بھیڑیے نے کھایا ہوتا تو کہیں سے تو قمیض پھٹی ہوتی, قمیض تو کہیں سے بھی پھٹی بھی نہیں ہے. The shirt of Prophet Yusuf was not ripped apart. It was, you know, it was nice, it was okay, it was just normal. There was no signs of a wolf attacking Prophet Yusuf. What did Hazrat Yaqub say to the brother, to his son? بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ. یہ تصویر کا کام, شیطان کا کام ہی یہ ہے کہ برے کام کو اچھا بنا کے پیش کرتا ہے. You are not the only one who is doing that. A whole bunch of other people who do it. What happened to them? So what if I do it? It's okay. When we get old, we will do tawbah. This is kind of, various kinds of excuses have been furnished by shaitan to make the thing look beautiful so that you can crush your aql and your fitrat, your Islamic meaning of intellect,
not the worldly meaning of intellect, how the people say, because Prophet has given us a different meaning of intellect. So it's Shaitan tries to crush and deceive the Islamic intellect and the fitrat and nature which Allah provided from inside, which are the two hidden evidences from inside, and then the external evidences which are the prophets and the imams and the books, and all those teachings are available in front of us, the inner evidences and the outer evidences, Hujjat-e-Batina and Hujjat-e-Zahira, and we ignore all those evidences and we heed to the deception of Shaitan, because he makes the wrong things seem very nice, muzayyan, beautiful, good to our eyes.
Doing ta'weelat and tawjihat. Kabhi bhi ta'weel ka darwaza apne upar mat kholne de.
Jis din aapne ta'weel aur tawjih ka darwaza, bringing and furnishing lame excuses for your wrong deeds, never open this door for your own self, because that's the destruction of your spirituality, and you will not be following the path and the seerat of Ahlul Bayt
if you do that. This is exactly what was adopted by the enemies of Ahlul Bayt when Muawiyah came into Medina after the so-called truce and sulh that took place. And he started to distribute and to bribe the people of Medina by distributing rishwat and bribery to the people of Medina. And finally, when he saw Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he said to this khadim, his servant, that the whole amount of money that you have distributed by now to all the people of Medina, give the similar amount of money to Hassan. The Khadim did the same. Khadim of Muawiyah, the servant of Muawiyah, he picked up that much bags of the money and he put it in front of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And Muawiyah made this comment. He tried to play very smart. He made this comment that Ana Ibnul Hind, I am the son of Hind. Main Hinda ka beta hu. When Imam Hassan was about to leave, a khadim and servant straightened the na'alain and slippers of Imam Hassan alayhi salam and put it in front of him. Imam Hassan wore his slippers because that servant put it in front of Imam Hassan. As soon as this servant put the slippers in front of Imam Hassan, Imam donated the same money to that servant and said to Muawiyah, Ana ibn Fatima. I am the son of Fatima. Of money you are trying to put a minnat and insan over me, that you are trying to give it to me, and you are showing that you are a very sahi person. This much of money Imam Hassan is ready to give to a servant. You know, who are you to compare yourself with the sahabat of Imam Hassan alayhi salam? So, and finally when Muawiyah moved from there and he found that Abdullah ibn Abbas did not come to support Muawiyah, but Abdullah ibn Abbas was a supporter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, a supporter of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. So he didn't come. So Muawiyah, when he was passing by with his entourage and his people, and he found Abdullah ibn Abbas was sitting with a bunch of his friends. So people stood up. Abdullah ibn Abbas kept sitting. He didn't stand up in respect of Muawiyah. So Muawiyah said, he was of course upset with this attitude. And he said to Abdullah ibn Abbas that you are not supposed to teach the Quran to the people. Abdullah ibn Abbas is a student of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he learned the tafsir of Quran from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So we... objected on Muawiyah that you are stopping me from teaching the Holy Quran? He said, no, I'm not actually stopping you from teaching Quran. What I mean is that teach them
the tafsir of Quran, but don't teach them the ta'weel of Quran.
And tafsir is the zahir, and ta'weel is the batin.
So keep them busy in the zahir of Quran. Don't teach them the batin of Quran, the ta'weel. Ta'weel is the real meaning. Tafsir is the zahir. If you are stuck with the zahir, you can never be led towards the straight path. Those who are just following the zahir, you can see there are 73 sects in Islam. 72 are in the hellfire, according to the hadith of the Holy Prophet. Al-Ba'an-Naji minhum wahid wal-Baqi halik. All the successor, the succeeding sect is only one, and all the rest are in the hellfire. So 72 sects who are following the zahir only, without the ta'weel and batin of Quran, are in the hellfire, according to the hadith of Rasulullah.
The Prophet had said to Imam Ali alayhi salam,
"Satuqatilu ala ta'wil al-Quran kama qataltu ala tanzilihi." Soon you are going to fight the people upon the ta'wil, the hidden real meaning of Quran, the way I fought the people over the tanzil of Quran.
Ta'wil is the hidden real meaning.
So don't teach them the hidden real meaning. Teach them the zahir apparent meaning. Keep them busy. Keep them, try to fool them so that they can be stuck with the zahir only, apparent meaning. Look at the behavior.
So, and if you keep on opening the tawjih and bringing excuses for your behavior, because now everybody can twist Quran according to his own
likeness. And that's exactly what happened. So Imam Ali al-Islam, when he sends Abdullah ibn Abbas to do nasihat to the Khawarij, he says to Abdullah ibn Abbas that لا تخاصمهم بالقرآن. Don't debate with them through Quran. فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ حَمَّالٌ ذُو وُجُودٍ. Quran ki to kai sari shaklein nikalti hain. تَقُولُ وَيَقُولُونَ. You say and they say. بَلْ حَاجِجْهُمْ بِالسُنَّةِ. بلکہ ان کے ساتھ حدیث کے ذریعے سے, سنت کے ذریعے سے گفتگو اور debate کرو. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَحِيصًا.
So now you find some people saying, well, you only tell us from Quran. And I always say to these kind of people, why are you asking us to only talk from Quran? Do you believe in those who said Hazmuna Kitabullah? Kya aap unke maanne wale hain jinhone ye kaha tha ki Hazmuna Kitabullah? Peygamber Akram ne to do cheeze chhodi hain. Inni tarikun fikum thaqalain Kitabullah wa itrati ahle baiti. To phir Rasool o ahle bait ki jo hadithe hain wo bhi utni hi mu'tabar hain jitni Quran ki ayat mu'tabar hain. To jab Rasool o ahle bait ki hadithe bhi utni hi mu'tabar hain to sirf Quran se kyon bayan kiya jaye? کہ آپ بھی ہر منہ کتاب اللہ والے ہیں تو کتاب اللہ کو اہل بیت کو پیٹ دکھانے کے بعد صرف قرآن کو لے لینا در حقیقت اہل بیت اور قرآن دونوں کو چھوڑنے کے مترادف ہے اس لیے کہ پیغمبر نے اپنی حدیث میں یہ بیان فرما دیا انہما لن یفترقا حتی یرد علی الحوض یہ دونوں آپس میں جدا ہو سکتے ہی نہیں ہیں جب تک حوض کوثر پہ مجھ سے نہ مل لے حوض پہ مجھ سے نہ مل لے معلوم ہوا کہ اگر کوئی شخص یہ دعویٰ کرے کہ میں صرف قرآن کو لینا چاہتا ہوں اہل بیت کو چھوڑنا چاہتا ہوں تو چونکہ وہ اہل بیت کو چھوڑ رہا ہے اہل بیت قرآن سے جدا نہیں ہو سکتے لہذا وہ قرآن کو بھی چھوڑ رہا ہے فرمایا آپ نے لہذا what I was saying is that never try to furnish excuses and tawjihat for your sins because that's how shaitan tries to pose and express a bad deed in the form of a nice looking thing. He never poses a bad deed. You never see in the media a killer, a qatil comes and says, hey guys, I am a killer. No thief is going to come and say, hey guys, I am a thief. That's not the way, that's not how it works. You have to present yourself in a way, you may be making so many wars, you may have your army sitting in 86 countries in the world, but you will still continue to say, Department of Defense. Minister of Defense. Instead of calling him Minister of War, you call him Minister of Defense. This is called euphemism in English. To use terminologies which is sweet looking terminology. Instead of calling it like occupied territories, you say settlement. Isn't that right? A settlement doesn't have any bad sense in it. Isn't that right? Settlement. It's not occupied, it's settlement. That's how they play with the words. Euphemism, euphemistic approach. So basically, you're fooling the minds of the public opinion. That's how they have been doing in the history. That's how the Banu Umayyah have been doing. That's how Banu Abbas has been playing. That's how today the media has been playing with the minds. We have to be aware enough to understand what is going on and not get fooled with the tasweer policy of shaitan to pose the wrong deed in the form of nice looking good deeds. Because the bad deeds will never be presented in front of you in the bad deeds. Satan is not fooled. He's not a fool. He's not a silly person. He's very cunning. So you find when Ammar Yasir was being killed by the army of Muawiyah in the Battle of Siffin, and one of the Ashab went, one of the people went and said to Muawiyah, "See, Ammar Yasir has been killed by you. Now it has been proven that you are on batil and Ali ibn Abi Talib is on haq, because Prophet has already said in his famous hadith, 'Taqtuluka al-fi'atul baghiya.' Prophet said to Ammar Yasir, that a rebellious group is going to kill you. So now it is proven that you are baghi, Imam Ali is the Khalifa, you are on batil, Imam Ali is on haq, because you have now killed Ammar, so you are baghi and batil." It is clear. But then Muawiyah started to do ta'weel and tawjeeh. He said, no. "Oh, did I ask Ammar Yasir to come and fight against me? I did not invite him. It's Ali ibn Abi Talib who invited him to come. Ali invited him, Ali brought him. So Ali is responsible for the killing of Ammar, not me. I did not invite Ammar to come." When Imam Ali al-Islam heard that statement, he said, "Oh, then it means that the Holy Prophet is then responsible for the shahadat of Hazrat Hamza, because Prophet took Hazrat Hamza into Battle of Uhud." That's why I said to you, brothers and sisters, never open the door of ta'weelat and tawjihat and excuses for the wrong deeds. Because the step number one for our spiritual improvement is to accept the wrong. अगर हम नफ्स का इतराफ नहीं करेंगे तो कभी भी तकामुल रूहानी की तरफ आगे नहीं बढ़ सकते। तकामुल की तरफ बढ़ने का पहला कदम नफ्स का इतराफ है। So now वसवसा एंड तस्वील, बुरे काम को मुजय्यन करके अच्छा खूबसूरत बना के पेश करना, ये दिस इज द स्टैंडर्ड ऑपरेशन प्रोसीजर SOP ऑफ शैतान। दैट्स हाउ ही ऑपरेट्स, that's how he works, it's nothing outrageous, that's how he's continuously doing, that's the SOP of shaitan. Like every business has a policy, that's the policy of shaitan. So we find that when Quran talks about the human beings, Quran has mentioned two categories of human beings in Surah Yasin. Please pay attention. لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيَحَقَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So for the sake of warning, انذار کیا جائے اس کا کہ جو زندہ ہے, ڈرایا جائے اس کو کہ جو زندہ ہے, to warn the person who is alive, وَيَحَقَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So our scholars say that the people, human beings, are two kinds in the dictionary of Holy Quran. Either they are alive or they are kafir. Everybody who is alive is actually the person who is mu'min, who is a mu'min is alive. And anybody who is a non-mu'min, in the dictionary of Holy Quran, anyone who is a non-mu'min is actually dead. A kafir is a dead person in the dictionary of Holy Quran. Only the one who has iman is alive. This entire story of shaitan, that Allah created Prophet Adam, blew into him from his soul, وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, and then Allah commanded everyone to bow down, all the angels bowed down except Iblis did not bow down, and Allah had announced already, إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ, I am creating a khalifa on the earth. My teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Yamuri Hafizahullah was saying that the Ayatul Istikhlaf, the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which talks about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made insan kamil, the perfect human being, as the khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ayat we call it Ayatul Istikhlaf. So my teacher was saying, if someone says that the entire Holy Quran is sent down by Allah as a tafsir of this one ayat of Holy Quran, which is Ayatul Istikhlaf, which talks about the fact that Insan-e-Kamil is the Khalifa, the perfect human is the Khalifa and vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone says the whole Quran is doing the tafsir of this one ayat, he has said the truth.
آپ نے ملاحظہ فرمایا کہ سارا کا سارا قرآن در حقیقت کس لیے نازل ہو رہا ہے؟
اس آیت خلافت کی تفسیر کرنے کے لیے
کہ انسان کامل کو اللہ نے خلیفہ بنایا ہے، اس کی تفسیر میں پورا قرآن نازل ہو رہا ہے.
اور کمال کی بات یہ ہے کہ اسی ولایت و خلافت کو بھلا دیا گیا،
جس ولایت و خلافت کی تفسیر کے لیے سارا قرآن نازل ہو رہا ہے، اس ایک آیت کی تفسیر کے لیے
اسی پہلو کو ہمارے یہاں بھلا دیا گیا.
اگرچہ ہم دوسرے فرقے والوں سے خوب بڑھ چڑھ کے کہتے ہیں کہ نہیں، یہ مولا کائنات کی یہ جو ہے یہ کوئی دوستی کا تھوڑی اعلان ہوا تھا تب سے صحرا میں پیغمبر نے 120,000 اصحاب کے مجمے میں جلدی ریتی پہ
جب فمن کنت مولا ہو فہاد علی المولا کہا، یہ محبت اور دوستی تھوڑی مراد تھی، دوستی تو سبھی کرتے تھے، یعنی ان کو محترم، ان کو لائق محبت سبھی سمجھتے تھے، لائق احترام تو سبھی سمجھتے تھے. یہ رستلیکی خلافت و ولایت و حکومت کا اعلان تھا.
یہ کہتے نا آپ دوسروں سے، جب دوسرے آپ کے سامنے کہتے ہیں کہ مولا سے مراد تو دوست ہے، مولا کے لفظ کے 16 معنی ہے عربی میں، تو یہاں دوست مراد ہے. آپ کیا کہتے ہیں اسے؟ نہیں، یہ دوستی کی بات نہیں ہے، یہ تو حکومت کی بات ہو رہی ہے. خلیفہ کون ہوگا؟ حاکم کون ہوگا؟ مولا یعنی حاکم، ولی یعنی حاکم، ولایت الفقی یعنی حکومت، فقی کی حکومت، ولایت یعنی حکومت. یہ کہتے نا آپ.
مگر انفارچونیٹلی دا موسٹ فار گاٹن اسٹوری ان آور کمیونٹیز از دا سیم پولیٹیکل ایسپیکٹ آف دا سیرت آف اہل بیت علیہم السلام.
لک ایٹ دا بیہیویئر آف اور کمیونٹی ان جنرل. Since the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, how many people did the bay'at, stayed on the bay'at of Imam Ali? The hadith of Imam Baqir alayhi salam says
there were 12 people who stayed. In the light of the hadith, we understand there were 12 people who remained on the bay'at of hadith. Because Prophet took the bay'at from the people. He didn't just announce, he took the bay'at, he installed the tents, and all the ashab were coming one by one and doing the bay'at and oath of allegiance with Imam Ali Islam in the presence of Rasulullah.
Isn't that right? So now 120,000 ashab have performed their oath of allegiance and bay'at
for the khilafat and hukumat of Imam Ali.
But after the shahadat of Rasulullah, we find there are only 12 people mentioned in the hadith of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. 6 from Muhajirin, 6 from Ansar, only in the city of Medina, among the men who kept, who remained on the bay'at of Imam Ali. This is the situation of the Middle East. I mean, people were praying. The mainstream community didn't stop praying. Tariq al-Salat to nahi ho gaya tha, namazin bhi ho rahi thi, roze bhi ho rahe thi, haj pe bhi ja rahe thi, baaki sare kaam bhi jo ibadatein hain, sab kuch ho raha tha.
Itni ki ibadatein sari ki sari logon ne chhod di. To kya cheez chhodi thi? Wohi chhoda tha ki jis ka elan hua tha. Baaki sare kaam to ho hi rahe the, wo aaj bhi ho rahe.
وہ تو اس وقت بھی ہو رہے تھے جب مسلم نے عقیل کے پیچھے 18,000 اور تاریخ ابن کامل کے بقول 24,000 خط لکھے گئے.
اور کون لکھے گا خط؟ غیر لکھیں گے خط کے مولا امام حسین آپ ہمارے مولا ہیں، آپ تشریف لائیے، امامت کا حکومت کا حق آپ کو ہے. یہ کیا غیر لکھے گا امام کو؟ اپنوں نے ہی تو لکھے تھے نا 24,000 خط. نماز بھی پڑھنے کے لیے تیار مسلم نے عقیل کے پیچھے. اور مقتل ابی مخنف کے اسٹیٹسٹکس کے بقول میں نقل کر رہا ہوں کہ 18,000 نے خط لکھے ہیں، 4,000 کے ساتھ مسلم عقیل نے قیام کیا.
اس کے بعد جب مغرب کا وقت آیا ہے تو مغرب کی نماز میں 4,000 سے کتنے لوگ باقی بچ گئے؟ 30. From 4,000 people who were along with Muslim ibn Aqil in when Imam Hussein sent him, the number decreased into 30 at the time of the Maghrib. And by the time Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil ended his Maghrib, and I'm just telling you the situation of the Shia community in general,
so we understand why are we holding these majalis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and what is the purpose, what to understand, what to gain out of it, what's the mission of Ahlul Bayt? Did we understand the walayat of Imam Hussain? Did we understand the mission of Karbala? So to make a purpose out of what we are doing, to take it out of a ritual and rasam, because rasam ka koi sawab nahi hai. Ye ibadat ho rahi hai, ye rasam nahi ada ki ja rahi hai. To main arz kar raha tha ke maghrib ki jamaat mein maqtale abi mihnab ke baqal 30 aadmi the kar musil nakil ke beech hai. Theek hazaron ne bayat ki hai, apne logon ki baat hui, gairon ki baat nahi hogi. 30. And by the time the maqtal of abi mihnab says, when he came out of the masjid after the prayers and he headed towards the Darul Amara, the royal compound, there were 10 people. 4,300, then 30 in the Jamaat of Maghrib, and now 10 people. Women were coming, mothers were coming, grabbing the hands of their sons. What had happened to you? Go back to home. Go to your home. Don't be with Muslim Nafi. Go back to your home. You have nothing to do with this. Moms were coming and grabbing the hands of their sons. Don't support, don't go there, don't go with him. Just go to home. I'm asking you to go. Fathers were coming and grabbing their hands of their kids. And by the time Maqtal Abi Mihnab says, Muslim Naqeel Salamullahi Alayhima, when he enters into the Darul Amara, the royal compound of Ibn Ziyad Rahmatullah Alayh, there were, and he turned around to see there was no person standing with him and coming after him. 18,000, 4,000, 300, 30, 10, 0. Did the people turn Tarku Salah? No. Didn't the people claim that we love Imam Hussein? That's why they wrote the letters. They didn't hate Imam Hussein. Did the people stop fasting in the time of Hazrat Muslim Abid? No. Did the people stop the Hajj? No. What did they stop that caused Imam Hussein to get killed and his naib, Hazrat Muslim Al-Aqeel, to get killed? What did they do not do? What's the precise thing that they did not perform? The walayat. This is what was mentioned in the hadith of Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, that Buni al-Islamu ala khamsin sahiha of Zurara. Islam is founded on five. Al-Salati, wal-Zakati, wal-Siyami, wal-Hajj, wal-Walaya. Islam is founded on five things. On the prayers, on the fasting, on all the monetary taxes of Islam. And the Hajj and the Walayat, the fifth one. And then Imam Baqir al-Islam said, فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِأَرْبَعٍ وَتَرْكُوا هَذِهِ. You know what the people did? The people grabbed the first four. Prayers and fasting and some taxes and Hajj. And taraku hadihi, and left this one walayat. For wallahi, Imam al-Baqir al-Islam says that I swear to Allah, wallahi la yastakmilu al-arba'a, they can never fulfill and complete those first four unless they complete those first four through the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Sari ki sari namazin bhi muh pe maar di jayengi, sare roze muh pe maar diye jayenge, sari khumso, zakat aur fitra jo nikalenge, sadaqat nikalenge, sab muh pe maar diye jayenge, sare anjaam diye hue haj muh pe maar diye jayenge, agar walayat e ali aur walayat e ahle bait aur walayat e imam e zamana ki pairvi nahi ki.
Allahumma salli ala muhammad
wa ali muhammad. Masla to ye hai ki aap hakim kisko mante hain? یہ نہ بتائیے کہ میں نماز اتنی پڑھتا ہوں, میں تو نماز شب پڑھتا ہوں. نماز شب تو خوارج بھی پڑھتے تھے. نماز شب پڑھ کے آئے تھے نا کہ مسلم کل کا قتل کرنے کے لیے مولا کائنات کو, کہ اب ہم ابھی تک اتنے بیوقوف رہ گئے ہیں کہ ظاہری نماز شب کو دیکھ کے فیصلہ کر لیں کہ قرآن کا پڑھے دیکھ ہیں تو نماز پڑھتے. نماز تو ساری پڑھ رہے تھے, کہ عمر ابن سعد نماز بھی پڑھ رہا تھا لعنت اللہ علیہ, ادھر مولا امام حسین نماز پڑھا رہے, ادھر عمر سعد جماعت پڑھا رہا تھا. کوئی یزید تارک الصلاح تو نہیں تھا؟ یزید نے بھی نماز جمعہ بدھ کے دن پڑھا دی. تارک الصلاح تو نہیں تھا نا؟ شراب کے نشے میں دھت جمعے کی نماز بھوک کو پڑھا دی. تو کیا ہم اتنے ہی سادہ اب تک بچ گئے ہیں 1400 سال سے امام حسین کی قربانی کی یاد زندہ رکھتے ہوئے بھی ہم ابھی تک لوگوں کی کھوکھلی نمازوں کو معیار سمجھتے رہے ہیں؟ ولایت اہل بیت روح اسلام اور روح ایمان ہے. لہذا پہلے یہ بتائیے کہ حاکم کس کو مانتے ہیں اپنا. باقی ساری باتیں نماز اور روزوں کا ذکر نہ کریں بھی میرے سامنے, یہ تو سارے دور دین کی بات ہے. پہلے حضور دین طے ہو جائے آپ کا. امامت تو حضور دین میں, امامت بلانس تو حضور دین. ہاؤ کم یو ارائیو ٹو حضور دین؟ لیٹس ناٹ جمپ دیئر. سو وی فائنڈ there's lots of people. One person came to Imam Baqir, and there's no concept of neutrality in Islam. We don't care about the siyasat, politics, we don't get into that. Well, this is your politics. Don't say you don't get into politics. This is exactly your politics. So you are also playing politics, and your politics is that you don't want to say anything against the tyrants and cruel governments. This is your politics. So don't say you have nothing to do with the politics. Yehi aapki siyasat hai. Zalimon ke zulm pe khamoosh rehke apni zindagi, lifestyle, convenience, Islam of convenience. Some people consider Islam of convenience is ye aapki siyasat hai. To ye na ke hamara siyasat se koi taluq nahi hai. Taluq to aapka bhi hai. Agar aapka taluq hai us siyasat ke saath ke jo aapki aasani, aasaish, suhoolat, aapki duniya in a nutshell, aapki duniya ko mehsoos rakh sake. Kyunki duniyadari ho rahi hai. So ye na kehna ke hamara siyasat se koi taluq nahi, kam az kam. Let's be a man. Let's say the truth. Taluq to hai siyasat se. Ye bhi hai aapki siyasat hai ki aap mazammat nahi kar rahe zalim ki. یہ مولا امام حسین کی سیاست ہے کہ وہ برداشت نہیں کر سکتے. یزید جو ہے وہ کھلا کھلا پھر اس کو حضور انجام دے رہا ہے. امام حسین برداشت نہیں کر سکتے. مثلی لا یبایعو مثلہ, مجھ جیسا انسان اس جیسے انسان کی بیعت نہیں کر سکتا. یہ ان کی پالیسی ہے. اب یہ ہماری بے غیرتی ہے کہ ہم اس جیسے یزید صفت لوگوں کی یزیدیت کو برداشت کر کے بیٹھے رہے, خاموش بیٹھے رہے. یہ ہماری سیاست ہے. تو یہ نہ کہنا کہ سیاست سے تعلق نہیں ہے. تعلق تو ہے. یہی آپ کی سیاست ہے کہ آپ ظلم پہ چپ ہیں. سب تو سبھی کرتے ہیں. Everybody is playing politics. But somebody, some are playing the politics of Imam Ali al-Islam, which is the siyasat of adl and justice of Allah. And some are playing the siyasat of Muawiyah, which is makkari and cunning. Positive politics and negative politics. Everybody is playing politics. You cannot, you know, separate and distance yourself from political behavior. It's part of human life. That's the most important thing of the human life. اگر کوئی آپ سے پوچھے کہ اسلام میں سب سے زیادہ تعلیمات کس موضوع کے بارے میں بیان کی گئی ہیں, سب سے زیادہ مواد کس سبجیکٹ کے اوپر پیش کیا گیا ہے, سب سے زیادہ مواد اسلام میں ولایت یعنی حکومت اہل بیت کے بارے میں پیش کیا گیا, اس سے زیادہ کسی چیز کے بارے میں تاکید نہیں کی گئی. ولم ینادى بشيء, حدیث کہہ رہی امام باقر علیہ السلام کی, ولم ینادى بشيء كما نودي بالولایا, لوگوں کو پکارا نہیں گیا جس طریقے سے ولایت کی طرف پکارا گیا تھا, اس طریقے سے کسی اور شہر کی طرف نہیں پکارا گیا. مگر کمال یہ کہ اسی چیز کو چھوڑ دیا گیا, اور نیوٹریلٹی کی بھی کوئی گنجائش نہیں کہ نہ ہم نہ ادھر ہیں نہ ادھر ہیں, کیونکہ آپ کی خاموشی کا فائدہ باطل ہی کو پہنچے گا, حق کو خاموشی سے فائدہ نہیں پہنچتا. پیغمبر اکرم نے پہلے ہی ارشاد فرما دیا, پروفیٹ ہیز سیڈ آلریڈی, الساکت عن الحق شیطان الاخرج. Someone who stays quiet over haq is the dumb shaitan. This Iblis that me and you are talking about, this Iblis, he's not dumb. I mean, he can speak. But this guy who is sakit and silent over haq, he is not ready to talk and support the haq. This guy, in the dictionary of the Holy Prophet, is a dumb Satan. Basically, he's worse than Satan. Isn't that right? He couldn't even speak. So, in the time of Imam al-Baqir al-Islam, one of the ashqiyah who participated against Imam Hussein showed up to Imam Baqir al-Islam and said, Yabna Rasulullah, I was part of the enemy who gathered against your grandfather Imam Hussein, grandfather Hussein ibn Ali in Karbala. I was part of those enemies, that army. But you know, Yabna Rasulullah, O the son of the Prophet, I did not kill anyone from your ancestors' side. I did not injure anybody. I did not harm anybody. I did not loot any of the tabarrukat. I didn't do any harm against them. I was just standing with the army against Imam Hussein. Is there a chance that I can be forgiven? There are lots of people who have this kind of policy. They are silent against all the atrocities which are going on every day. But let's have the Islam of convenience. Imam Baqir al-Islam said that inshallah khuda tujhe kabhi nahi bakhshega, inshallah Allah is never going to forgive you. And then he said, because when Shimr came to slaughter my grandfather, before slaughtering him he had a look at the whole crowd, and when when he looked at the huge gathering which was standing behind with him to support him, his qalb and his heart became strong enough, and then he committed the crime. Because of the strength and quwwat that he gained by looking at the whole crowd which was standing to support them. اب مولانا فرمایا آپ نے کہ یہ کہہ کے ہم گزر نہیں سکتے ہیں کہ نہیں ہمارا بھی کوئی تعلق نہیں ہے ظلم کرنے تو کہ ہم تو ظلم میں تھوڑی کوئی حصہ ڈال رہے ہیں. خاموش تو آپ ہیں. So we have to be active towards the walayat and hukumat of Imam Mahdi and Islam and his deputy. That's the whole thing what we learned from the message of Karbala. So that we don't repeat what had happened to Hazrat Musa ibn Aqil, to one naib of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. How are we behaving towards the naib of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam today? This is our litmus test. باتیں کریں نا آپ لوگوں سے نہیں, ہم سے زیادہ تو اہل بیت سے چاہنے والا کوئی بھی نہیں ہے مولانا. ہمارے یہاں 17 سال سے حلیم کی مجلس ہوتی ہے. مجلس حلیم کی نہیں ہوتی, مجلس تو امام حسین کی ہوتی ہے. پہلی بات ہے, اگر ایکشن سپیک لاؤڈر, آپ کی پالیسیز آپ کتنا فائدہ پہنچا رہے ہیں اہل بیت کے ولایت اور ان کی حکومت ان کی امامت کے مشن کو. لیٹ یور ایکشن سپیک لاؤڈر. کون لنا دینن ولا تکون علینا شینن. ہمارے اعمال جو ہیں وہ ثابت کریں کہ ہم اہل بیت کے شیعہ اور پیروکاروں کے نقش قدم کے چلنے والے ہیں. سو اگر ہمارے اعمال, یہ تو اعمال تو اس وقت ثابت ہوں گے کہ جب ہمارے پاس ہم علم سیکھیں گے اور عالمانہ باتوں کو پسند کریں گے. ٹھیک ہے, پھر عالم کی تو قدر وہ کرے گا جس کو علم کی قدر ہوگی. جس آدمی کو علم ہی کی قدر نہیں ہے وہ عالم کی کیا قدر کرے گا. صاحب علم کی قدر تو اس وقت ہوگی جب آپ کے پاس پہلے علم کی قدر پائی جاتی ہو, علم و جہل میں فرق پتا چلو آپ کو, نور و ظلمت کا فرق پتا ہو آپ کو, تب آپ علم کی قدر کریں گے, تب آپ عالم کی قدر کریں گے. آپ دیکھیے کہ بعض علماء نے یہ نقل کیا ہے, امام حسین علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام نے کسی کو لکھ کے دعوت نہیں دی, اپنی طرف نہیں بلایا تھا. غریب بے نیاز, اللہ کے اسم الغنی کے بھی مظہر ہے. 1000 نام ہے اللہ تعالیٰ کے, اور 1000 کے 1000 تمام کے تمام ناموں کے کامل ترین مظہر ہے. اسم الغنی کے بھی مظہر ہے, بے نیاز ہے حسین علی. اگر بلایا کسی کو تو کس کو بلایا؟ من الحسین ابن علی الى الرجل الفقیر حبیب ابن مظاہر الاسدی. حبیب ابن مظاہر حسین ابن علی کی طرف سے اس مرد کی جانب کے جو فقیر, فقاہت کا علم رکھتا ہے, فقاہت ہے, تفقہ فی الدین ہے, گہرائی کے ساتھ دین کو سمجھتا ہے, فقیر ہے. حبیب ابن مظاہر کیا شان ہے, کیا شان ہے جناب حبیب نے مظاہر کی. جب جناب مظاہر اپنے صاحبزادے کو, جناب حبیب چھوٹے سے تھے, اپنے صاحبزادے کو لے کر پیغمبر کی زیارت کے لیے تشریف لائے, اور پیغمبر نے یہ منظر دیکھا کہ امام حسین جو چھوٹے سے تھے وہ چلے چل رہے ہیں, اور حبیب امام حسین کے نقش قدم پہ قدم رکھتے ہوئے بڑھ رہے ہیں, حسین کی خاک پاک کو اٹھاتے جاتے ہیں اپنے سر پہ ڈالتے جاتے ہیں, خاک اٹھاتے ہیں اپنے سر پہ ڈالتے ہیں. پیغمبر سے نہ رہا گیا, ایک مرتبہ پیغمبر نے بڑھ کے بڑی بڑی محبت کا مظاہرہ کیا, حبیب کے ساتھ بڑی محبت تو شفقت سے پیش آئے. اب جو مظاہر جناب مظاہر نے پوچھا تو بیان فرمایا, میں نے دیکھا کہ یہ بچہ حسین کے قدموں کی خاک کو اپنے سر پہ لگا رہا ہے. ملاحظہ فرمایا کہ کیا کس طریقے سے پالا تھا جناب مظاہر نے اپنے بچوں کو, کس انداز سے پرورش کی تھی کہ حسین کے قدموں کی خاک کو آنکھوں کا سرما سمجھتے تھے. چنانچہ اب جو خط پہنچتا ہے میرے مظلوم امام کی طرف سے, آنکھوں سے خط کو لگایا, مولا امام حسین کی لکھی ہوئی عبارت دیکھی, آنکھوں سے خط کو لگایا, اب گھر کے اندر داخل ہوئے, زوجہ موجود ہے, پوچھتی ہے وہ مومنہ کہ کس کا خط ہے, قاصد کیا لے کر آیا ہے؟ کہا میرے مولا حسین کا خط ہے. کہا کیا لکھا ہے حسین فہدی نے؟ کہا لکھا ہے کہ یہ کہ حبیب ہم نرائے آدھا میں گھر گئے,
ہم نبی آدم میں گر گئے ہیں. یہ ایک فتوہ
لکھا اور وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِ مِن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ اور تم ہماری قرابت رسول اللہ سے واقف.
کتنی قرابت ہے امام حسین رسول اللہ سے؟
یاد ہے نا آپ کو کتنی قرابت ہے؟
کہ امام حسین اگر چھوٹے سے ہیں اور پیغمبر سجدے میں ہیں اور حسین پیغمبر کی پشت پہ آ گئے
تو اب جبرائیل کو اللہ نے نازل کیا کہ آپ اس وقت سجدے سے سر نہ اٹھائیں جب تک حسین خود سر ہٹ نہ جائیں. آپ کی پشت سے 70 مرتبہ پیغمبر نے سبحان ربی الاعلی وبحمد سبحان ربی الاعلی وبحمد 70 مرتبہ تکرار کیا یہاں تک کہ حسین خود سے اتر گئے. اب سمجھ یاد آئی نا کرامت کتنی کرامت ہے رسول اللہ کے ساتھ. وانت تعلم کرامتی من رسول اللہ انت تعلم کرامتی من رسول اللہ لہذا اب اگر آ سکتے ہو تو آ جاؤ.
یہ سننا تھا تو وہ مومنہ پوچھتی ہے کہ تم کیا ارادہ کیا؟ حبیب کہتے ہیں کہ میں یہ سوچتا ہوں کہ اگر میں تمہیں چھوڑ کے چلا جاؤں پیچھے تمہارا کیا ہوگا.
یہ سننا تھا کہ بعض روایتوں میں ہے مومنہ نے اپنی چادر اٹھا کے حبیب کے اوپر پھینکی کہ اگر تم مولا امام حسین ارے فاطمہ کا لال تمہیں پکار رہا ہے اور تم مدد کے لیے جانے کو تیار نہیں ہو اگر تم نہ جاؤ گے تو میں اپنے مولا کی خدمت میں جان قربان کرنے کے لیے چلی جاؤں گی. حبیب نے سننا تھا کہا کہ مومنہ میں تو تیرا امتحان لے رہا تھا. ارے یہ کیسے ہو سکتا ہے کہ میرے مولا حسین مجھے دعوت دے اور میں نہ جاؤں؟ یہ تو نہیں ہو سکتا. غلام کو روانہ کیا اپنے گھوڑے کو فلا مقام تک پہنچا دیا جائے کیونکہ کوفے کی ناکہ بندی ہوئی ہے. ابن زیاد نے فوجی پہرا کھڑا کیا ہوا ہے. غلام گھوڑے کو لے کے اس مقام تک پہنچ گیا. اب جو حبیب کے پہنچنے میں تھوڑی سی تاخیر ہوئی تو دیکھتے ہیں یہ بعض علماء نے نقل کیا کہ اب جب حبیب وہاں پہنچتے ہیں تو دیکھتے ہیں غلام پہلے گفتگو ہے گھوڑے کے ساتھ گفتگو کر رہا ہے. اگر میرا آقا تم پر سوار ہونے کے لیے نہیں آیا تو گھبرانا مت میں تم پہ سوار ہو کے جاؤں گا امام حسین پر جان قربان کرنے کے لیے. یہ سننا تھا کہ حبیب سے رہا نہیں گیا رونے لگے ایک مرتبہ آنکھوں سے آنسو جاری کہنے لگے کہ ارے مولا آپ کے اوپر کہا کہ یہ کہا کہ مولا آپ پہ کیسا وقت آ گیا کہ آپ پر غلام بھی گریا کر رہے ہیں. غلام سے کہا جا میں نے تجھے راہ خدا میں آزاد کیا. غلام کہتا ہے یہ تو انصاف نہیں ہوا جب تک میں آپ کی خدمت میں رہا اس وقت تک مجھے رکھا اب جب مولا حسین کی خدمت میں جا رہے ہیں تو مجھے آزاد کر دیا. ارے میں بھی اپنے مولا پہ جا کے جان قربان کروں گا. غلام کو ہمراہ دیا. ادھر حسین علی ہیں جو رایات تقسیم کر رہے ہیں پرچم تقسیم کر رہے ہیں ایک ایک شخص کا پرچم تقسیم کیا جا رہا ہے مگر ایک پرچم کو ایک علم کو میرے مولا نے کنارے رکھ دیا اس کو الگ رہنے دیا اسے کسی کو تقسیم نہیں کیا. اب جو پوچھنے والے نے پوچھا کہ مولا اس پرچم کو آپ نے کسی کو نہیں دیا فرمایا اس کا حقدار ابھی آنے والا ہے. ابھی تھوڑی ہی دیر گزری تھی ارباب مقاتل لکھتے ہیں کہ کوفے کے دم کی دم سے غبار نمودار ہوا حبیب ابن مظاہر اصحاب نے پڑھ کے استقبال کیا شہزادی فتنہ کو جناب زینب نے بھیجا کہ جا کے پتا تو کرو. ابھی تو ظاہر ہے شہزادی کو یہی خبریں ملی تھی اب عمر کے ساتھ کا لشکر آ گیا اب فلاں لشکر آ گیا ابھی تک تو یہی خبریں مل رہی تھی اب کون آیا ہے. اب جو فتنہ واپس آئی ہے جناب زینب کو بتایا کہ مولا کے بچپن کے جانثار حبیب ابن مظاہر مولا پہ جان قربان کرنے کے لیے آئے ہیں. شہزادی نے کہا جاؤ حبیب کو میرا سلام کہنا. روایت میں عجیب فقرہ ملتا ہے ایک مرتبہ حبیب ابن مظاہر کھا کے کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے ایک مرتبہ حبیب خان کے کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے خاک کو اٹھا کے اپنے سر پہ ڈالنا شروع کیا. ارے کیا زمانہ آ گیا کہ اب شہزادیاں غلاموں کو سلام کہیں. تعالى لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بار الله برجم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما برجم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سر پر برقرار تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آل المؤمنین یا حسین
Ya Hussein! Ya Hussein! Ya Hussein! Ya Hussein!